so the light, and every burden of my heart roll away. It was day by side, I received my sight, and now I am happy. Oh, one more time, at the cross, at the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was I received my sight, and now I am happy. Oh, alas, alas, my Lord, alas, my Savior bleed, and died a sinner. When my sovereign God did evil, that separate it for such a woman. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I too saw the light, and my burden of my heart rolled away. It was I received my sight, and now I am happy. Oh, was it for crime? Was it for that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing grace to his Son, who had not beyond thee. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I too saw the light, and my burden of my heart went away. It was by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy in the womb. Well, my first son in darkness hide, and shine his glories in. With Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creatures were at the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and I put it on my heart, put away. It was I receive my sight, and now I am happy with you. But the drops of tears that I can never find, Lord, I give myself to it, is you that I can. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I pursue the light, burden of my heart went away. It was I receive my sight, and now I am happy. One more time, at the cross, at the cross, where I pursue the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was I receive my sight, and now I am happy over you. Amen. There is power, power underworking in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, power underworking in the blood. precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, there is power on the work. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power on the work. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. One more song we pray. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, in the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Holding on the everlasting, I'm leaning in it is. Safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, I'm leaning in it is. The everlasting. Sweet to hold in this pilgrimage, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'll write the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting. I'm leaning on. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I am blessed at peace with my lips and lips. Leaning on the everlasting, I'm leaning on.
Hallelujah. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire. We'll ask Brother Max to first come pray for us. We greet each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We greet the saints. It's good to be back. It's good to be home. When you go away from home, you like home better. Because you mix, you meet the mixed multitude. And I was many places. You don't know where I was. But I love home. I love the saints. It's a nice place. I'm glad I have pastor I have, I'm glad I have brothers and sisters I have. It's nice. It's very nice. What a blessing. Pramex, will you come pray? Amen. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. Sorry. Junior. Amen. Sorry. We need to say Max A, Max B.
As well as. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Once again for this evening, Lord God. For how sweet it is, O Lord, to sit at your feet, O Heavenly Father, Lord God. How sweet it is, O Heavenly Father, to come and fellowship, O Lord, with you, O God. Father, we've come, O Lord, this evening, Lord, with a broken heart, O Lord God. With a contrite spirit, O Heavenly Father, Lord, that you said, O Lord, that you will not despise, O God. And Father, Lord, we just want to yield ourselves, O Lord, at your feet, O God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, the Lord, you will minister to our souls, O Heavenly Father, tonight, O God. Father, we desire not to leave you the same, O Lord God, but we desire, O Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, the Lord will leave you with your presence, O God. Father, we commit ourselves into your hands, O Lord. Father, we lift it before thee, O Lord, this day. The Father, you bless the service, O God. Father, we pray for the songs, Lord. We commit them into your hands, O Father, Lord. Bless the song leader, O Lord, this day, O God. Father, the musicians, Lord, you bless them this day. Hallelujah. And inspire them, O Lord, and anoint them, O Lord, to lead us, O Lord, into that spirit, into that realm, O Heavenly Father, Lord God, where our hearts, O Lord, may be a prepared ground, O Lord, to receive your word, O Father. And we pray for your servant bringing the word, O Lord, that you lay him aside, O God. The Father, as he stands, O Lord, it will be not him, O Lord, but Father, it will be you, O Lord, speaking to us, O Lord God. No one ever had, O Lord, every need, O Lord. We pray that this day, O God, you meet with each and every one of us, Hallelujah. O Lord God. The Lord will leave you and say, indeed, our hearts, O Father, did burn, O Lord God. That we'll leave you knowing, Lord, that we've drawn close, O Lord, unto you, O God. Father, we thank you to see our brother Vegas and Saints back, O Lord. We thank you to see our brother George and Saints back, O Lord. We thank you for bringing the pastor also back safely, O Lord Jesus. Father, how sweet it is to see the saints back to commune together, Lord, at your feet, O God. Lord, we lift our sacrifice before thee, this our Lord God. Wherever we may have grieved, O Lord, we pray that you cleanse us, O Lord God. The Lord, the sacrifice may be pleasing before thee, O Lord God. Bless us now, O Lord God. Undertake now, O Father, Lord, and may your name be glorified in the service, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was reading an article today. They said 10 best films to watch before Armageddon. So if the world knows about Armageddon, you know, so it was interesting. I said, wow. They said 10 best films to watch before Armageddon to prepare yourself. That's what they were saying. See, so the world is ready, but we are not ready. We want to stay forever. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What a day it shall be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, wait for me. My loving Father, when the world's on fire, won't you want God's bosom to be a pillow? I'll be over my rock of ages, rock of ages, wait for me. The sounding of the trumpet at the door. Hallelujah, we'll be precious, we'll be precious, rock of ages, awesome. Oh, my loving sister, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hallelujah, with a rock of ages. Rock of ages, wait for me. A sinner, wait for me. Where you'll be crying for a home. Never see but the ransom. We be singing, rock of ages, wait for me. Oh, my loving sister, my loving brother. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be a pillow? I knew that in the rock of ages, rock of ages, wait, oh my loving, oh my loving brother. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be a pillow? Over in the rock of ages, rock of ages. The last verse, all our sinners, all our sinners, they'll be crying to the home of our soul. The ransom will be singing, rock of
Father, oh my loving Father, when the world's on fire, won't you on God's bosom to be a pillar? I will bow in the rock of ages, rock of ages, oh, one more time, my loving Father. When the world's on fire, put you on God's bosom to be a pillar. I believe in the rock of ages, rock of ages, live for me.
When upon the clouds of heaven, Christ shall come to earth again. Will the living righteous say him, when our Lord shall come up, we'll be singing, we'll be singing, we'll be shouting, we'll be solemn over the day. We'll be weeping, we'll be praying, when our Lord shall come again.
Next verse.
When our Lord shall come
again. Next verse.
Let's start again. Will his coming bring rejoicing? When our Lord shall come again. When our Lord shall come, we'll be singing, we'll be singing, we'll be shouting, we'll be sorrow, we'll be weeping, we'll be praying, when our Lord shall come again. May you join in lamentation, may our angels guide you through. May you have this hope abounding, when our Lord shall come up. We'll be singing the word, singing the word, shouting the word, sorrow, the word. We'll be weeping, we'll be praying, when our Lord shall come up. We'll be singing, we'll be singing, we'll be shouting, we'll be sorrow, we'll be weeping, we'll be praying, our Lord shall come again. Amen. What's that song we sing? He's coming soon. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to testify something. The reason I want to is because I heard another testimony this morning from Zimbabwe of a sister who, they had a gas stove and she had a prayer cloth and the cloth was prayed for. And they used to top up gas every month. So she put the prayer cloth on the gas and the gas never ran dry for over a year. So why I want to testify is because yesterday I went to Carlo and had little fuel. I had a quarter tank and I used half of that quarter. I got to Carlo on the way back with Brother David after 10 at night. I said, Brother, please, I need to put fuel. I can't chance all the way. I put 53 euro. It was a full tank. And I even have a picture that I took. I drove. It's still on full tank now. You see, but yesterday it went from half to less than to between quarters. So I phoned Brother Dave. I said, hey, brother, on the way back when I was driving, I was saying, Lord, this car I know when I go to Northern Ireland or Carlo. I do Carlo always. Most weeks I go to Carlo. And I know how much fuel the car uses. So I said, Lord, something's not right. When I was now at, no, but I was, amen. You see, so when I was now at, what's that place? I was right coming into Dublin. I said, but it's still on full tank. It's not getting empty. And when I went to Carlo, the petrol was the consumption was so good. So I said, Lord, it's either Brother Max and them fixed my car when I was not here, or you fixed the car and you didn't tell me. You see, so I was really praising God to say that I had a full tank when I left Carlo, and I still have a full tank till now. It's still on full. So I really praise God. When I heard that testimony this morning, Brother Dave actually told me he heard it when Brother Lubanza was preaching about a woman from Zimbabwe with the gas. So I really praise God. And I want to testify, because every time God does something for me, I must testify. I have to. And I thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness. Amen. Because he tunes the cars at times. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. He's coming soon. In these closing door of time, oh, watch your goodness of my soul. So no wonder truths are sublime. We shall be King of Kings, Lord of Kings. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. It's coming. Oh, we pray. We will come. His return. He knows. Oh, I know it's coming soon. Signs around me, nothing around me, nothing left. Head in the starlit, painted on the starlit sky. Well, we are declaring after time, all the saints, the Lord is coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And very soon we joy. We will come to meet him. Oh, I know, it's coming soon. The dead in Christ to live us, the dead in Christ to give us life, will come to slumber. So shall they shall rise. Oh, the curtains are torn through the portals of the sky. They shall come to the king. Valor is coming soon and very soon. He's come. So is coming. Oh yes, we chose. He's beaten. Oh, we know he's waiting. Oh, he's waiting. God specializes in things thought impossible. Amen.
God specializes in things thought impossible.
Truth of your word. We thank you for the truth that we've sung. Father, amen. Each of us could testify Hallelujah. Upon this day of your faithfulness, Lord, amen. So many times, Lord, when there was no way but you made a way. Father, so many rivers that you've opened, so many amen. Things that you've done. Father, even as Brother George was testifying, Lord, it's good to come into your house to testify of your goodness before your sons amen. And daughters, Lord, for Father, your ministration of mercy and grace unto us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made a way for us once again to come Amen. Upon this day to fellowship with you, to fellowship one with another, to worship thee in the midst of the week, praying for them that aren't here, that you'd have mercy upon them. Amen. Watch over them, Lord, you know, the needs of your people at this time, them that have traveled, bless them where they are. Father, keep them, bring them safely back. And Lord, as you open up your word, Father, we're coming, Lord, to sit at your feet. We're coming, Lord, as Mary, Lord, Father, to sit and Father, to soak in, Lord, what you desire for us upon this day. But we need your unction, we need your grace. We need your mercy upon each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you that you gave us this chance. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for bringing Brother George back safely as well as his family. Oh, Lord, we look unto thee. How good that it is, Father, for the things that you do. Bless your word now. Bless the remainder of this service. Continue to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. As Brother George is saying, good to be back in his house. Good to see the saints. Like I say, east is east, west is west, but home is best. There's no better place than being at home. It's good to be back where you feel comfortable. But there's something about home. You can take off your jacket and you don't feel embarrassed. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, saints. Let's get a thought from there. I do realize it's a Wednesday night. So grateful for everything which the Lord has done since we were here the Sunday before. Matthew chapter 9. So I want to read the same scripture we read when we were in Carlo, but maybe just take it in a different way. Just to take the topic once again of shepherdless sheep. Shepherdless sheep. And we see it in Matthew chapter 9 from verse 36 up to 38. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Yes, Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's also read Luke chapter 10, just to remind ourselves of how blessed that we are. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we're blessed. And sometimes we need the law of contrast. Sometimes we need the Lord to take you somewhere else, allow something else to happen. And then you realize you're blessed. Or meet other people. Speak to other people. See where other people are. And you'll say, but my, we are blessed. Luke 10, verse 23. It says, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. That's a great benefit. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Let's just take this thought of shepherdless sheep. This is mainly to do with just an encouragement to evangelism. You know, when I read that scripture, especially about the Lord Jesus Christ looking upon the multitudes, you know, he looked and he had compassion. He was looking at people. I'm sure a lot of those people were righteous people. No, I'm sure so many of those people were sincere people. So many of those people were good people. But Jesus, when he looked upon them, he saw they had one great need, is that he wasn't their shepherd. You know, they had leadership. You know, there were so many things taking place, so many organizations at that time. So many people claiming that Jehovah was leading them, but they didn't have the Son of Man as their shepherd. And friend, that's a serious thing to think about. And because of that, they got to the stage that they fainted, it says in Matthew. And it says they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, when we were in Carlo, we just said that. We said, no, one of the things, if you want to see the greatest thing which would be of benefit to a flock of sheep, if you want to know the destiny of sheep, is look at the shepherd. Because, I mean, if sheep have a cruel shepherd, those sheep are going to have a hard life. You know, and that really is something about it. So if you really think of your life, if you didn't have the good shepherd himself as your shepherd, think of where you would be. If you weren't under the message of the hour, if you didn't have a prophet shepherd, because in Why Shepherds, the prophet says prophets are prophet shepherds. God sends a prophet as a shepherd to an age. Now he says even the prophets, they dressed up in sheepskins, it says in Hebrews, because they were prophet shepherds. Is that the great shepherd hid himself in the prophet shepherds? And we can really, really sometimes just take these things for granted. Now to be in the message of the hour is such a privilege. You know, blessed are your eyes to see the things that they see, because there's many people that would desire to see the things that you see and they don't see them. There's many, many people that would desire to hear the things. We can just put on a message. We can get up in the morning. We can put on a message and we can hear things that this generation is longing to hear. Sincere people, but the way hasn't yet been made for them to be able to hear the things that we hear. You know, just like those disciples, they could walk with Jesus day by day. Now, whenever they had a question, they could just ask of him. And he could tell them the real mind of Jehovah. You know, they didn't need speculation. They didn't need people's opinions. They could speak to the source himself. And they could ask all these different questions or seek an understanding. And they just had access to this great resource all the time. They just gave them an understanding. These great questions that were puzzling people at that time. Now the great perplexities, even like in our age, you and I just have access to answers. Amen. You know, and so we just take it for granted. We don't realize sometimes we forget the great grace that has been bestowed upon us. But it's only when you see the reaction in other people, when new people come, when other people start now to gain access to the resources that we just take for granted, and people start saying, I remember, who was it once when we were up in a, I think it might have been Brother Fergus's house, and one brother was there, one new brother, and he came and he said, what? How long have you people had these things? Yeah. Why are you not telling everybody about these things? It was, yeah. People really, really get amazed about those kind of things. So I think it's a good thing to really appreciate the good shepherd for what he's done for us. Now, people have been asking questions, because if you get on the internet, friends, that's my where this thought came from, is people ask questions because we're in the YouTube generation. You know, that's what it is. Whenever somebody is looking for an answer now, if somebody wants to know something about the Bible, If someone's looking to understand certain things, you know, the first port of call, people get on YouTube. And there's plenty of people out there that are willing to meet the need. Now, there's no shortage of people out there who are willing to give answers to the questions that people have. There's plenty of them. Yeah, and I was just looking at some of these things. Somebody had asked the other day, because next week, I think it's on Monday, there's this great eclipse that's coming in America. We know that the sun is going to be darkened. I'm sure people have been on the internet, know all about it. It's big talk. It's the first time since 1776 that there's an eclipse that started and finished in America. And it's going to go completely, the sun's going to go completely black. It's a total eclipse. And 1776 was when America was founded. And now there's this great eclipse once again. And then next month, in August 23rd, a couple of weeks' time, next week, there's this supposed great sign that's going to be in the skies of Revelations 12. Who knows about that Revelations 12 sign? Does anybody else know about it? Oh, it's good people aren't so addicted to YouTube like I thought. But everything is, there's this great sign going to take place in the heavens where Virgo is going to be clothed by the sun and the moon's going to be at her feet and she's going to have 12 stars on her head and all these things that are taking place. Now, those things are interesting, but if you can please put the slides. I just want to really get to the point from that, is that if you're looking at shepherdless sheep, if you go onto YouTube or you go on and you have a look at this eclipse, you're going to find so many things like this. Is this the final warning? It all begins August 2017, total solar eclipse. And you'll go and look at that and you'll see there's 1.2 million views. Wow. 1.2 million views.
Wow, people are interested.
And it shows there's a desire inside of people. Now, people are shepherdless sheep. They're looking for some leadership. They're looking for some answers. They're looking for some guidance on these things. No, they know the Bible says there'll be signs in the sky, signs in the heavens. And Jesus speaks of the great portents that will take place before his coming. You know, and just as it was in the days of Daniel when there was handwriting on the wall, everybody got affected by it. Everybody could sense the atmosphere in Belshazzar's palace at that time. The Bible says Belshazzar's knees even knocked themselves together. His bones were out of joint. He caught such a fright, he realized he could feel it inside of himself that this must mean something. No, this isn't just a normal something. Now, I'm not speaking about this eclipse. I'm just saying these things take place. The prophet explained it in 1964, you know, when the Pope went to the Holy Land and so forth. But there's going to be so many people out there, they're going to try to take these events and give you a reason and an understanding.
Yes, sir.
And there's going to be so many people seeking for a reason and understanding, and they can sense it inside of themselves that this is the season. This must mean something. Let's look at this other one. Now look at this one here. He has Virgo. Now this is in 23rd of September. That's going to be the first time in 7,000 years that Virgo, yeah, is going to have the moon at her feet. And it's going to have the sun clothing her. And now the Leo, which has 9 stars in it, 3 planets move up and makes like a crown. And now people are saying, this is the fulfillment of Revelations 12. You know, and it's a real big thing. And the Christian world now is taking up, there's books about it, there's films about it, there's people that have built big ministries just based on these things. And you know the unfortunate thing about it? Is that totally wrong in the interpretation of the whole thing? You know, they're sincere people, they're good people, but they're taking signs and, you know, like I'm saying, in the days of Daniel, and they're speculating about things. But friends, to us, we had a more sure word of prophecy. We didn't need somebody to come and give us that. The prophets already told us Revelations 12 was fulfilled when Jesus was born. Now, when the church was passing from law, the moon under its feet, to grace, which was the sun, and the 12 stars and the 12 apostles taking the church from law to grace. No, so to us, we don't have any questions about these things. We look at something like that and say, well, that's interesting, but it doesn't really mean very much. It has no real significance, but look what people are saying on the internet. Something epic this way comes. Stunning scriptures related to September 23rd. 310,000 views. 2017 marks the beginning of the end. Things are heating up. This one, look. The greatest end time sign. The greatest end time sign. Revelations 12, woman in heaven. 1.149 million views. And friends, when I looked at those things, I said, Lord, you help us to do our job better. Because we have the answers. We have access to the Son of Man. But all of these people, these are sincere people. Now, these are people that are really trying to understand. They see scripture. They see things happening in heavenly places. They see natural events. They see, you know, things happening in the stars. And now they're trying to match these things themselves because they can feel inside of themselves that there's got to be some significance. And this one here, 23rd September, the greatest end times sign. But friends, the prophet preached a message called a true sign that's overlooked. Because what is the greatest end time sign? Is a prophet is an end time sign. That's always the greatest sign that God can give. At every junction, he sends a prophet. And the coming of a prophet, he says, is a judgment sign. You know, so people have totally overlooked the true greatest end time sign. And now the devil, he comes and gets people so busy focusing on all these other things. And if we're not careful and we like really get into the end time way of getting information and getting ourselves shepherded by things, we go and we spend our time in these kind of things. Things that have some interest, yes, but you know, in the big scheme of things, they don't mean very much. Amen. Now look what the prophet says in Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. He really comes to explain this in such a good way. And it really made me see, yes, when Jesus looked upon the multitudes, when they had no leadership, he had compassion on them. You know, he didn't mock them. He didn't laugh at them. But he looked at them and said, this is sad. To see people that are sheep, but they don't have a shepherd. They don't have somebody to lead them to the right thing. So the prophet says, he says, this is in Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. He says, what time is it, brother? What time is it, minister? Do you see the time of the day and the sign you're living under? Now to us, we do. And we just take it for granted. No, to us, Revelations 10:7. To us, it's just, we take it for granted. We take the book of Revelation, we see the seven stars in his hand. We know who that is. You know, we take Revelations 12, we see the woman with the moon at her feet, and clothed with the sun. We know who that is. Amen. We take Revelations 13, the beast rising out of the sea with seven heads and 10 horns. We know exactly who that is. We know that's Rome. We see another beast rising up in Revelation 13 from the earth, yeah? Which was spake like a lamb, and then you know, was like a lamb, horns like a lamb, and then spake like a dragon. We know exactly who that is. But friends, it's because blessed are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear, because there's multitudes. There's the great multitudes, the same as Jesus saw, who are fainting. Who are scattered abroad. Why? Because they don't have the shepherd that we have. They don't have this leadership. They don't have access the way that we have access. And friend, you know, Brother Eli always quotes that one there about, you know, no man has a right to hear the gospel twice when another man hasn't heard it once yet. And I really, really, when I was looking at these things this week, and I see the Christian world in its sincerity, many of these people are very sincere people. They're running after these things. And they're finding answers. And you know, people are being moved. And people are, you know, storing up food. And all these things based on people's interpretations of these things. And I thought, but if they just had access to what we have access to, these things are just a continuation of end time events. Now, these things are not the things to think this is the greatest end time sign. This is just another sign in the heavens to confirm the things that you already know. You know, it's like it's nothing new. So the prophet says, can you understand it? Do you see it? He says, I was reading, we know this quote, but listen how he explains it. He says, I was reading one of the outstanding papers. What's that? Media, Christian media. So you, instead now of people reading Christian papers, they go to Christian websites. They look on Christian things on YouTube. It's the same as the prophet speaking about. It's Christian media. It's just a way that Christians are using to get their message out. In those days, It was getting it out in a newspaper and sending it around and so forth. Now Christians are using the internet. That's the big media that people are using. He says, I was reading one of the outstanding papers that comes here to the church. A very fine paper. And I know the editor and I know the people. And they are godly people, very fine. Brother and Sister Moore, of the herald of his coming. I found that was ironic. Because the prophet was the herald of his coming. What is the herald of his coming? A herald, I actually put it down in my notes to find it. A herald, the meaning of the word a herald. The king would always send a herald before and he'd blow the trumpet and say, the king is coming. A herald is one that precedes or foreshadows. An official crier or messenger. So imagine these people, Brother and Sister Moore, they were personal friends with the man who was the herald of his coming. And they made a newspaper called the Herald of His Coming, looking for something else to be the herald of his coming. Yet they had Brother Branham in Shreveport, Louisiana. How many times, even on the wings of a snow white dove, so many of the powerful messages we listen to and have such revelation from were preached in Shreveport, Louisiana, which was the church of Jack Moore. So they make this newspaper called the Herald of His Coming. Why? And the prophet says, okay, he says, but you know, and he says in between this quote, that's from 82, he says, at the end he says, and in the newspaper they're printing all the time, fast pray, it's not too late yet, fast pray, God can still visit us, God will do something for us. And the prophet says, why do they do that? And I'm saying with those pictures from YouTube, why do they do that? Why are these people focusing on these things and, you know, emphasizing on these stars and this eclipse and all these other things that take place? He says, why do they do that? Because they want a great awakening. It's a thirst, like Brother George is saying. There's a God-given something inside of them that they realize it's the end time. People aren't storing up food in their homes in America in the millions now. Because they're insincere people. They're sincere people. And people, shepherds have told them that you need to store up food. They go to Jim Baker and friends and all these other big things and watch them. And these guys are selling generators and selling and making a big business out of this fundamental something inside of the souls of shepherdless sheep. That people are looking for something to lead them, something to give them, you know, direction, something which they can feel, yes, I'm prepared now. You know, this ministry told me what I must do. I must do this and that, and I've done it. Now I'm ready. He says they're crying, believing that there will be awakening. They're good people. Now, there's some out there that aren't good people. No, I mean, there's the wolves in sheep's clothing. But so many of these people, if you go and watch the things that they're saying, you can tell this is a Christian person. He's being sincere with what he's got. He's using his resources. He's getting himself out there. He's putting his message. What he believes is right. He believes he's got something which can shed light into the lives of people to show them the lateness of the hour. And they're running with that message. But it's not the right message. It's not the message of the Son of Man. He says they're crying, believing they'll be awake because they're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They've not recognized the awakening of the bride. That's the great mistake which they missed. They never recognized the coming of Elijah. Because the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal, is a process. And it starts with the coming of Elijah. When Jesus came, how did it start? With the coming of John. Yeah. Even before that, when the angel came, when before he was born, John. You know, it was a process that took place, the coming of the Lord. Amen. That was the seventh seal. So the seventh seal now will be exactly the same thing. The seventh seal has to start, like with Jesus, the first coming, has to start with Elijah. Because Elijah had to come then, so Elijah must come now. Someone has to come and prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Now that fundamental something that we're saying amen to, 99.9% of the Christian world doesn't know that. They don't recognize it. They've missed it. They've missed the herald of his coming. They've missed the very thing which they need, and now they're looking for something else. And they're praying and fasting and doing, friends, let's be honest, they're doing a lot more than we're doing. They're doing a lot more with what they've got. They're doing so much more than we are doing. My. The prophet says, they've not recognized the awakening of the bride. But by being a Christian, they're Christian people. They feel the pull of the hour. But they haven't recognized what's being done. That's why I said, blessed are your eyes that they see. And blessed are your ears that they hear. Because you felt the pull, not that only felt the pull, but now you've seen what God is doing. You know his program. You know his purpose. You found your place in his body. You're in harmony. You're walking in oneness with him. In your day, you're walking with God. Oh, friends, but there's so many shepherdless sheep. And the prophet says they're good people. This is Christians, being Christians. They feel the pull of the hour. These people are on YouTube. They felt a pull. They know this means something when they see the signs in the skies. They know it means something. So they're going to use the best they can. They're going to get commentaries, or they're going to, you know, go to certain ministries which they have some confidence in, which they feel that this shepherding here is going to lead me right. And they'll go now and base or use their resources, use their time, get their direction, get their influence from somewhere. But friend, the big question to ask yourself is, the leadership that you're following, where is it leading you to? Remember, Brother Oliver asked the question when you were at the camp. He says, if you're following something, where is it leading you to? Where is it going to take you to? Is it going to take you to the place that you're expecting it's going to take you to? If you believe this is the signs of his coming, and you know now you're being told, okay, what you need to do is send $1,000 seed faith to this ministry, yeah? Which is what they're being told to do. Or, buy my book. That's the next thing the Lord is told to do. Buy my book. Signs in the heavens and the end time. 10 steps to prepare your family for what's coming. It's things like that. And friends, people are shepherdless sheep. And they're looking for leadership. And there's a fundamental deep inside of them. They can feel a pull. They feel the lateness of the hour. They feel the urgency. They know, I've got to do something. I need to get my family prepared. I need to be ready for what's coming. I can sense and feel, just like those animals in India when the earthquake would come. And then even before the earthquake came, the birds left their nests, and the cows and the donkeys, they leave the walls, the shadows of the walls. And everyone wonders what's going on. And then here comes the earthquake. People can feel it and sense it inside of themselves. And friends, the very thing which that desire in them is seeking for, you and I have it in our hands. The very answer that people are looking for, we have it. We have so much of it, we don't even have time to read it all. We have a bookshelves full of what these people are looking for without realizing this is what they're looking for. It's a serious thing to think about, friends. One of the saddest things in life is a shepherdless sheep. Because sheep are helpless without a shepherd. When a sheep goes astray, you listen to the message, a guide. When the prophet speaks about people getting lost out in the woods because they didn't have a guide. Because they followed the wrong guy. He speaks of those ducks that took off. And now they followed the wrong leadership and they ended up in England. And they couldn't get back to Canada. And every year they gather together in England as if they're about to fly. But nobody knows how to get them home again. Now this duck really thought he was doing a good job. Now he came there one day and there was a pull inside of them. Each of them, a duck feels it by instinct, a pull in a certain season. That it's got to leave where it is because the cold winds are coming. Like the judgment is coming. If I stay here, I'm going to die. I've got to go somewhere. And so they all gather together in the lake, or they gather together wherever that is. They swarm together. And then one of them rises up and he's the leader. Yeah? And that year, this one rose up and says, I can show you the way. And they never thought, It's just inside of ducks. There's an instinct in them to follow leadership. So this duck takes off now and they think, wonderful. Friends, that's exactly what's taking place here. These people are taking people somewhere. They're leading people somewhere. Where are they going to lead them to? They're sincere. That duck was sincere. He wasn't playing games. And he flies them right across the Atlantic. Instead of heading south, he heads east. And then he gets to England and he says, this is it. This is where we're supposed to come. And then the rest of the ducks are asking, hey, it's a little bit colder here than we thought that it was going to be. We thought Louisiana was a little bit warmer than this, because that's where they go for the winter, Florida, wherever that it is. And then the winter came, and then those ducks really suffered. And then they said, okay, you got us in this mess, can you get us out? And now there was nothing inside of that duck to get them back. And now they were stuck where they were. Friend, that's a sad thing to think about in the lives of people. But Satan preys upon that fundamental something in the makeup of men and women. Sincere people, godly people, Christian people who feel the pull of the hour. And the devil comes and gives them, like Brother George said at the beginning there, so many other voices, so many alternatives, so many things that they can set their attention on. And friends, let's be careful, especially like we said at youth to the young people. YouTube's got some interesting things, but there's no eagle's food there. It'll never satisfy your soul, those kind of things. It's just like got some interest in it, but you get yourself on the message of the hour and see how you feel, having listened to one of the prophet's messages. There's a difference in it. There's something as far as east is from west. The prophet says that's what's making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen. But see, they're looking for it way off in the future. When it's already happened right by you. And how many people are looking for Elijah? Friend, go and see. People are saying, Elijah, and this one's Elijah. And the prophet speaks of John Alexander Dowie. He speaks about him. If you read it in the fourth seal, the prophet says, we've had so many Elijahs. I'll read you the quote here. Listen to what he says, the prophet in fourth seal. When he's speaking about the different anointings, and he speaks about the eagle anointing. And he says, the eagle calls him death. Only the eagle could recognize who death really was, the pale horse rider. And the prophet says, you see, because it needs that eagle anointing to recognize death in the end time. But the prophet says, but we've had Elijah's garments. I have the picture, I didn't put on a slide, but here's John Alexander Dowie. You can find it yourself. Dressed up in Elijah's garments. The prophet says, we've had Elijah's robes. John Alexander Dowie buried up there, wrapped in a robe. He said he was Elijah. We've had all kinds of things like that. What is it anyhow? It's only to take away a truth that is going to be presented. So the devil comes and brings all these other things. And then people in the end, now they heard, last year was supposed to be the coming of the Lord. And now next week is going to be, things are going to fall apart when there's a great eclipse. And then September 23rd, that's going to be the end now. Now the rapture, I saw one man was saying it, you know, that the rapture is going to start September 21st and it's going to finish on the 23rd. And people will be openly putting dates like that. And friend, if those people only had two or three followers, you could say. But when a man has 1.2 million people watching what he has to say, friends, you and I have something to say. Amen. You and I are the people in this age that have something to say. That's why John was told, you take the book. You eat the book. Then you must prophesy again. You must prophesy to many nations, many tongues, many peoples. Because we have something to say. Because in Revelation 10, the lion has roared, Amos said, yeah? The lion has roared. The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? It's impossible if you've eaten the book for there not to be something inside of you to prophesy. It can't be. The prophet says that he says it's Satan running out a counterfeit to upset the minds and the faith of the people before the thing actually happens. Our friend, that discernment that is given unto us through the message of thou is a very, very powerful thing. It's a real, real great thing that he's done for us. When we're speaking about leadership, yeah, like the message of thou. We were speaking when Brother Vergus went to see a brother up in Northern Ireland last week who had listened to Jeff Jenkins and had been made shipwreck from the message. And we went and we sat with the man for some hours and wanted to hear, okay, but you know, what are the real things that took you away from the message? And friend, there's nothing of substance. It's sad. You say, but yeesh, a man like that can lead people astray with something which is not even substantial like that. How much more can we use what we've got? You know, if people can use things that are not real, things that don't have substance, to influence people and get them to follow them out into the wilderness, like Thudas and Judas before the days of Jesus, who thought they had something to give to the people and led the people astray and they'll perish in the wilderness. How about us when you've got something genuine that you can give to people? Friend, we really do, like I say, have a more sure word of prophecy. We have something. We said it to that brother that day. Said, hey, the Bible says, prove all things. And hold fast to that which is good. And friend, this message, you have nothing to be embarrassed of in this message when you put it under the microscope. You can start off with the most simple thing. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely infallible truth from the word. A sure foundation, a sure word of prophecy. You can take serpent seed and somebody will say, oh, that's serpent seed doctrine. Okay, what do you believe? Oh, Eve ate an apple. And that's why she recognized she was naked. And that's why now she had sorrows in her. She's given birth pains. Yeah? And her desires to her husband. You know? It's like it doesn't make sense. But to you and I, friends, we've got these things, these resources, this revelation, this understanding of things to us, which is so simple to us. But to other people, there's a pull inside of them and the devil's taking advantage of that pull to pull them here like sheep, to pull them there until in the end, like with Jesus, he found them like sheep that fainted. They were just tired. They were tired of being pulled over here and then, you know, that didn't really work. And then they pulled out over there and they pulled out over there. That's really not what you want, saints. And this message, the thing to ask yourself, if you're following a message, yeah? If you're following something, is Jesus in the boat? That's the important thing. Is Jesus in the boat? Is the deity in your leadership that you follow? Is this just man, this message? What we're doing, is it just man, or is God in the program of this message? And to every single message, believer, you know it. God is in the program. And to prove that Jesus is in the boat, whenever it seems to be stormy, Jesus reveals himself. And the storms go still once again. Because the master of the wind is on the sea. Sometimes he might be sleeping in the back of the boat. The prophet is sleeping between revivals. But when you need him and you call him on the sea, has he ever let you down? Has he ever let you down? He's never let me down once. Every single time when I've said to him, Master, carest not thou that I perish? He's risen up and he's rebuked the winds. Then he said to me, why did you fear? Where was your faith? It's exactly the same, friends. Jesus is in his message. The prophet says his anointing is upon the message of his coming. And we don't just say that by words. We all know it by experience. We know it in our souls. It's done something to us. It's continually doing something to us. But friends, not everybody is as privileged as we are. Now we're surrounded by people. The prophet says good people, Christian people, people that fast and pray and they're seeking for an understanding of this age, understanding of the signs of the times. They're seeking to know how can we be prepared for these things that are coming upon the face of the earth. Because Jesus told us men's hearts will be failing for fear. For fear of these things that are coming upon the earth. And friend, if I wasn't a believer today, if I wasn't in Christ, I can imagine I would feel in this age. The uncertainty. We see the economy, for instance, great bubble of the economy. If you know what's happened in the economy, the Dow Jones has hit whatever, 22,000, whatever. It's a record. But it should never be at that level. There was a great collapse. There was a great disaster, 2007, the Great Recession. There was a reason for that recession. They haven't fixed one thing since then. They just printed money, and pumped it in and made a big bubble. And friends, any day now the bubble's going to burst. And that a very good one, I've spoken once before in the Economist magazine, a very good little picture cartoon to explain it. And you see, here's the world economy, dressed up like a knight on a donkey. And behind him is a small little dragon who's died called the Great Recession, 2007. And this world economy now, dressed up like a knight, he's got a broken lance, his sword is broken, his armor's not working anymore. And now here comes the big dragon in front of him. Now, you see, and that's the truth. They've used all the little resources they had to fight that recession there to chug things along to where we are. But friend, there's coming the big one to usher in the kingdom of the beast. It has to come. That everything that can be shaken has to be shaken. These things have to shake and fall, the prophet told us. America will be bankrupt. She'll have to sell her birthright. We know those kind of things. And people can feed it inside of themselves. And that's why people are investing in gold and silver and storing those kind of things. We're thinking it's a safe haven from the things that are to come. Why? Because they're shepherdless sheep. You see, they know they need to do something. And they listen to somebody. And that person gives them an advice. But there's no deity in that leadership. There's no mind of Christ in the things that they're being told. There's no understanding of God and His program and His ways and His thoughts and His purposes. But friends, to us, we were singing that song, "Oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire." Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Our friend, what a privilege that we have. What a privileged people that we are. That's how the prophet says, they're good people. They're sincere people. But it's not enough to be good. You can turn off the slides. Thanks. It's not enough to be sincere. It's not sufficient. You know what needs to be done? Whatever leadership you're under, whatever message that you're under, whatever umbrella that you're under in any age, it's not enough that it just be somebody who's sincere. No. It's got to be someone who's divinely commissioned. It's got to be someone who's divinely ordained. And that's why sincerity is not enough. It needs predestination in these things. It's predestination that has to be in play in these things, because He ascended on high and He gave gifts unto men. Yeah? It's got to be that. And friends, I so do appreciate this message because of that. Is that a seventh grade educated man could come and confound, even in the brokenness of the language that he uses, that man could come and confound the greatest theologians trying to explain things in this age. And you and I can just take a message like, "Why little Bethlehem?" And there would be such divine wisdom in the pages of that book. Or, "Why it had to be shepherds?" And you can spend time and you can understand the very mind and heart and thoughts and purposes of God. How God thinks and what God's purpose is and His ways and His dealings with people. And nothing's a mystery to us. We know why Israel's a nation. We know what's going to come upon them. We know there's a tribulation coming for a threefold purpose. It's going to purge what? The Jews. It's going to 144,000. It's going to purge the foolish virgins. It's going to purge the earth. No, to us, we know those things. We know what the seven thunders are. It's not a mystery to us. You know, like Brother Tim Pruitt says, you know, what was thunders became a voice. It's not thunders anymore. It's now a voice to us. The revelation that was in those seals has thundered out. And God has revealed to us our day, our message. Revealed how great He is. Revealed who the enemy has exposed and laid bare the enemy before us. We know who the enemy is. But friends, these people, sincere people, they take Revelations 12, yeah? Revelations 12 says what? There was a woman clothed with a the sun and the moon under her feet. And she brought forth a man-child. And then what happened? And then the dragon came to devour her. And she was given two great wings like an eagle and sent into the wilderness for times and a half a time. We know that's Israel. Yeah? But those people, none of them, I went to look for myself, none of them have any idea who the dragon is. Who the dragon is. And that's one of the most important parts there, because you've got to know your enemy. How can you overcome your enemy if you don't even know who your enemy is? And you go to these big ministries, they're great ministries, they fill stadiums full of people. They can't tell you who the Antichrist is. They think the Antichrist is some political leader who's going to rise up. They don't know they've made a league with the Antichrist himself. That they've gone back to Rome and they've made a league with the very dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns himself. But friends, is that a mystery to you? To you, it's a fundamental principle, simple doctrine of the message of now. Because blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they can hear. And we need to appreciate what God has done for us. We need to appreciate it, saints. The Lord has done good things for us. The Lord has been kind. Brother Max was reading in the Sunday school about Nicolaitanism the other week. Yeah? You know what Nicolaitanism is? Why God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Yes,
it's humanized leadership.
Yes,
the shepherd cannot feed his sheep. The shepherd cannot lead his sheep. Yeah. Because man's standing in the way. But friends, see how God has fed us in this age. See how God leads us in this age. It's a grace of God. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He hates the laity to be conquered, because then they're shepherdless sheep. They don't have him as the great shepherd, but you and I can get on our knees tonight before we go to bed and we can speak directly to the great shepherd. And he'll speak to us through the prophet shepherd, the message of the prophet shepherd. And to the ministers who minister here, we're not struggling to try to find food to feed the sheep. It's stored up already for us. Store up the food. The sheep food was already stored up. We don't have to puzzle it out for ourselves and get our Bibles and try to understand, but, you know, what is Revelation 12 really? And okay, I understand. That's the great end time sign. And then we make a big channel and we put it on YouTube and we get all these people following us now. But where are we leading them to? Sincere people, good people, feeling the pull of the hour. But friends, God has given us something in our hands. He's given us something that we don't understand the potential and the power of what He's entrusted us with many times. And if the Lord could just help us and stir us up. I see like some of the brothers were down in Carlo yesterday. It's incredible.
Amen.
Honestly, to see the zeal of people.
Amen.
When they receive the message of the hour. When they start coming in contact. I think Brother George, when they went down there, Brother George and Brother David, they played water baptism. The tape water baptism. And those sisters now, the things they were saying about that. Sister Pauline, she put a scripture on the forum saying, you know that scripture in Acts when it says the disciples gathered together, yeah? Well, it says Paul and Silas. And it's the scripture says Paul and Silas began to worship at midnight and they prayed. She put in brackets, Sister Pauline, Brother David and Brother George.
Amen.
Because the earth shook.
Amen.
She started to see, but yay, where did you get this from?
Amen.
But friends, let's be honest. If you and I listen to the message, water baptism, do we find it powerful? Why? We're used to it now. We're used to it, but to somebody else, they say, but this is what I've been looking for all the days of my life. I've always had these questions like Ed Biscuit. I've got this question. How should I be baptized? Is God three? Is he two? Is he one? Yeah. What about the serpent seed? What happened in Eden? And then, yeah, God ordains him to walk with the prophet shepherd just a little bit out in the wilderness.
Amen.
And that prophet shepherd just sits down with him on a log. And the great shepherd comes now. These three deep questions that are troubling the sincere Christian man. And why was he troubled all that time? Because he didn't know, but he was a shepherdless sheep. He was himself was a pastor, he was a shepherd, but he was actually a shepherdless sheep. And God had to send him a prophet shepherd. And he sat down. Then the prophet shepherd said, Brother Eddie, when I was on those mountains this morning, riding with Brother Bud, the sun was warm on my back. And he came to me there.
Hallelujah.
The great shepherd came. And I understand you've got three questions.
Hallelujah.
My. That is an experience that will transform your life. Because you will realize that, my, God has opened a channel, God has opened a resource like this. That this deep question I can have inside of my soul. I can just sit next to a man, such an unassuming man. I can sit next to this man who's really the herald of his coming. And the secrets of the hearts of man, the very deep things that you're looking for and hungering and thirsting for, and God will reveal them to you. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears. And friends, we need to appreciate that. These people, friends, they're sincere, but let's be honest. What they're feeding people is not soul food. It's mind food. You know, it's in the mind. But what we've received in the message of the hour, it's soul food. It's eagle's food. It's so satisfying. In Joel, when the Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. What did he say? He says, when I restore, the vats will be full of oil. And the floor shall be full of wheat. Is that not our experience? Under this restoration through Elijah. Elijah shall first come and restore things. Now we've got vats full of oil. We've got vats full of wine, the stimulation. We've got wheat. We've got the finest of the wheat, like the Bible says. We've got the original wheat, the original seed back again. And you can just sit down there in the morning, put on your tape recorder, take a message from your shelf. And friend, you can understand things that Jesus said the prophets were longing to understand. You can take Christ as the mystery of God revealed. And you'll find things that God had hidden in his mind from before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
And you just get yourself humble at his feet and he starts to feed your soul. And he starts to reveal who he is. Starts to reveal who you are. Starts to reveal who your enemy is. Starts to reveal your day. Starts to reveal your message. There may be some areas of your life you didn't understand. You didn't have certain answers. That's how God wants it to be sometimes.
Yes,
but in the big questions of life, in the big fundamental questions that we all need answers for, nobody here should be without answers.
Yes, sir.
All the resources are there for you to get whatever answers that you need. In these fundamentals concerning eternal life, the great question of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you grew up like we did in Pentecost, trusting in tongues and those things. Sincere people that were Christian people that we were. But we needed God to send the shepherd prophet to us and show us that's not it. And show us now something which was a more certain word of prophecy. Something which was clear. Something which shined as a lamp before our feet. Something which showed us the way that we can walk right to the end of this age. It's grace to us, friends. It's grace. But when you see what these people are doing because of the pull of the hour, this is simply a manifestation, when you see how many people watch these things, of a great spiritual hunger in this age. There's a spiritual hunger because the Lord says, I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That's what he said in his word. He says, and the fair young virgins, Christians, will run to the north and south and east and west, seeking to find the true word of God. And they won't find it. And sometimes us, we have it. We don't listen to it. We get onto YouTube and go and see what other people have to say. We're trying to find an answer to a question, so we go and listen to some other guy. You don't know where he came from. You don't know any vindication inside of his life. You don't know where he's leading people to.
Hallelujah.
And you follow his answer and listen to what he has to say. Respect people. He's a Christian man. He's trying his best. But friends, no. When we want answers, there's one resource in this age, which is the message of the hour. That's the only scriptural resource that was given unto us. Go back to the days of Elijah. There was famine in the land, but when Elijah was in the widow's house, there was no famine in her house. She had bread enough and to spare because of the spirit of Elijah. Now let's finish with that thought about why the Lord has to send Elijah. Because it's a serious thought. Friends, the anointing we have is different than the anointing all the other churches have. The message, the eagle anointing is different than any other anointing. You can't say other people aren't anointed. But we have a particular anointing. We have the anointing of Elijah upon us. That's what we have. And that anointing is released at certain times for a very specific purpose. Why did Elijah have to come? Think of the days of Elijah. Think of the days of John the Baptist. He was Elijah in his day. They had the law. They had the priesthood. They had the temple. They had all the sacrifices. No, they had all religion. They had all, everything seemed in order. But God had to send them Elijah. John the Baptist first. Why? Because there was nothing in all that those people were doing, no matter how sincere they were, which could meet the need of the day. There was nothing in all of their religion that could prepare people for the first coming of Christ. If there was, why did John have to come? The very coming of John proved when he came in the spirit of Elijah that no matter what the churches did, no matter what the Pharisees did, no matter what efforts they put out, no matter what campaigns they had, they couldn't prepare a single person for the coming of the Lord. If they could, God wasted his time sending Elijah. Why did Gabriel come to Zechariah? Why did the miracle happen in Elizabeth? Friend, the spirit of Elijah comes because God looks down in compassion upon the people. And he sees that there's nothing there to shepherd my sheep the way that I want my sheep to be shepherded. And I can't leave my children as shepherdless sheep. So behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet. Because he doesn't want us to be shepherdless sheep. And always at those junctions, those critical end time junctions, when Jezebel is there, Jezebel religion is on the scene. You know, Elijah had to come down because the people were religious. There were good people there. There was Gamaliel. Not to say they weren't righteous people. They were righteous people. But their whole system of religion before the coming of Jesus had got to a stage that there wasn't a single one of them that was walking in harmony with the heart's desire of God. None of them. Jehovah had a heart's desire. Think back to Elijah on Mount Carmel. Yeah? God had a desire. God had a burden. He looked at his people. He saw what Jezebel was doing to the people. He saw what Ahab was doing to the people. So God, he was burdened. God, he felt compassion. God wanted to, you know, people to see things the way he saw things. So what did he have to do? He had to send Elijah to turn the hearts of the people. So the spirit of Elijah, I've said it before, it's the heart-turning spirit. So the spirit of Elijah came when everybody else was ministering to the mind and people knew a lot of things, they could tell a lot of things, but they couldn't face up and overcome the conditions of the age. So God now sent a very particular anointing of his spirit. And the prophet says, God loves that spirit of Elijah. Because that's the one that he sends when Jezebel is on the scene. That's the one that he sends when he wants his people to get into the same place that he is. No compromise. There's no compromise with the spirit of Elijah. So God now sends the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah says, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, bring the people unto Mount Carmel. What are you going to do, Lord? And Elijah starts to pray and he starts getting into the mind of God and he says, Lord, let them know that you are God and that you have turned their hearts back again. The heart is the soul, friends. So God had to send the spirit of Elijah to come and deal with the souls of people once again. To turn the heart of somebody. That's coming into the very innermost being who you are. And God sends a particular anointing, a spirit coming in a certain way to come and turn you around right down on the inside. Ah, friends, we can know all those other things. We can know all about the stars and all about the eclipse and those interesting things. And I'm sure there's a lot of truth in a lot of those things. But friend, the thing I've learned from these things, even through my own mistakes, there's nothing in there to turn anybody's heart. There's nothing in there to feed the souls of eagles because the eagles want eagles' food. They want that something that's got that particular anointing of the eagle upon it. You know, it might have been good for another age, but yesterday's manna doesn't satisfy today's spiritual hunger. The spiritual hunger today, you need today's manna. You need that something that's fresh and freshly killed and freshly anointed so that it satisfies the desire of today. And that's how when they would take that showbread, those 12 loaves and put it on the table of showbread. Then they would take it right close there to the inner veil. And that bread was called the bread of his presence. Or the bread of his face. Because it was, God could look through the veil and that bread was being bathed in his presence. It was bread that was directly before his mercy seat, his Shekinah glory. And the priesthood would come in there and every course of priests, as they changed the bread, the priest could take that bread. But you had to eat it in the holy place. And you'd partake of this bread of his presence. Because you were the ordained priesthood of that season. So you were the only one that were permitted to take the bread of his presence and break that bread. Not everybody could eat that bread. And friends, the message of the hour and every age is the bread of his presence.
Hallelujah.
It's the place that he has chosen to place his name.
Amen.
He comes and overshadows the message of the age. That's how when you saw that quote, what message was it the prophet was preaching? Recognizing your day and its message.
Amen.
What's he basically saying? He says, Jack Moy, Christian people, good people, but they fail to recognize their day and their message. They're looking for something to come, but it's happened right by them. And they fail to discern it. So Elijah had to come to turn the hearts of the people, to bring about a desired result. Now God wanted people to see things the way he saw them. He wanted people to feel the way that he felt. So let's finish with this scripture. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, just to show you the real key to it all. In 1 Kings 17, when Elijah calls them to Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. From verse 29. It says, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that had that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Friends, that's the missing element in the lives of many believers.
Hear
that? Yeah, they've recognized Elijah. They can see Elijah. They can see the fire fall from heaven. They can see him rebuild an altar. They can see all those kind of things. But in order for your heart to be turned by the spirit of Elijah, you've got to draw near. You've got to get yourself in personal closeness, nearness, and fellowship with the message. And that's the thing that Satan doesn't want. He doesn't mind us having a distant relationship. He doesn't mind us knowing things to a certain level. But it's this one of draw near to me. And you can always tell people that draw near.
Hallelujah.
There's something very peculiar about the anointing that's upon them at that time. When people draw near to YouTube, Facebook, yeah, that's okay in its measure. But there's such a difference when somebody shuts themselves in.
Hallelujah.
Like Brother Lubanza said, it really moved me when he said that. He said when the Lord spoke to him and he put on that message, yeah? Greatest battle ever fought, and he got on his knees. And he listened to that message on his knees. That's drawing near, friends. That's drawing near. Not lying on your bed while you're half asleep. That's not drawing near. But recognizing that, hey, I can sense the potential of something here. I can sense the Lord wants to speak to me. So you take off your shoes, spiritually speaking. Because you're approaching a holy ground. Draw near. Draw nigh unto Him. And He will draw nigh unto you. And I was saying it in the youth the other weekend. That's what we need. For the next generation of youth to take the message on. As we pass the baton on to them. They need to draw near to this message. They need this message to do to them what it did to us. To become to them what it became to us. Because we can never be true witnesses of something. Unless we've tasted and seen it for ourselves and experienced it for ourselves. And then we can go and tell others, come and see. Like they did when they tasted of the Son of Man. And friends, that's what we're needing. If you speak of end time evangelism, yeah, getting out there, the turning of the hearts of the people. The prophet says, what is end time evangelism? It's Malachi 4. That's end time evangelism. He says it's not just gathering the stones, decisions, decisions, but it's the sharp cutting instrument to shape them up and place them in their position in the building, the house of the Lord. He says that's end time. What is an end time evangelist? It's Eliezer in evening time. He drew near to Abraham. And Abraham now had a burden upon his heart. Abraham had a great burden. And because Eliezer drew so near, Abraham now could transmit the burden into the heart of Eliezer. And Eliezer now went with that burden to find a bride for Isaac. Our friends, let's draw near in this season. Let's draw near in prayer. Let's draw near to His Word. Now let's not worry about all these other things that are there just to distract us. A lot of things to sidetrack us. A lot of things to take our attention off on secondary issues. Not sinful things, but secondary things. But there's certain seasons where it's so fruitful just to draw near. And what a promise that He gave us. If you draw near to Me, I will draw near to you. And when you can feel His presence and you can sense He's wanting to do something through His Word. And you can sense that His presence is lingering upon a certain message, a certain tape. No, like I say, you come to church, you hear something, you'll only hear 10% of what's been said.
Yes, sir.
Because you find when somebody comes to preach a message and you find there's some impact or power, yeah? Like, say, Brother Lubanz when he preached or at the camp, that person there would have really drawn near to the Most High. And he would have received something because of his close proximity, that yieldedness, receiving something. Do you think you're going to fully benefit from what you could benefit from that message if you in turn don't also draw near? Now, if you don't, if you just listen from afar, you're going to receive a portion, yes. But the full benefit, the full unction, the full purpose that that message was sent for is reserved for those who draw near. Because when you draw near, then you'll start to say for yourself that, now I know why He said that. That's true, I can sense it myself. Now He's revealed it to me. I never understood that before, but now I've heard with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees for myself. And then the message becomes your message. It's not your father's message, brother so-and-so's message, the preacher's message. But this is mine because I've drawn near. This I've appropriated for myself. And friends, that's when the message is a precious thing.
Hallelujah.
And that's why these people, when I look and I see people that leave the message, like Jeff Jenkins, it's a mystery to me. And I pray it'll always stay as a mystery. I don't understand, how can people leave this message? How can you leave? And as it was before Jesus came, and Gamaliel, he says, remember in the book of Acts, he says, don't worry about persecuting these Christians. Yeah, if this is of God, don't fight against. He said, remember Thudis, yeah, who thought himself some great something. And he led the people into the wilderness. And he perished. And they were all scattered. These people who come, friends, claiming they're better than the message, they know more than the message. Where do they lead people to? Tell me the truth. They lead people into the wilderness. I've seen it time and time again. Those questions, believe the sign and all those kinds of things, where will it lead you to? Will it lead you to a greater vision and purpose? A greater oneness with God in your age? Or will it lead you into a confusion and a wilderness that you don't know where? You know what you'll become again? You'll become a shepherdless sheep. We've met many of them. We met one of them, a very, very fine brother last week. And the Lord granted us a lot of grace when we were there to minister him back to the shepherd. The prophet shepherd in this age. Because for every question there's an answer. And friends, God is big enough to fight for himself. If you bring his message into question, he'll bring the answer to whatever that you say. But you just need to wait. Don't be too hasty. Don't be too quick to judge and condemn and make conclusions. No. Let God speak. Let God prove. That's what Gamaliel said. If this message be of God, yeah, don't fight against it. You'll fight against God. I just want to appreciate the Lord tonight. I just want to say, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm glad for this eyeself in this age. I'm glad for this eagle's food. I'm glad for angels' food. I'm glad to draw near to Elijah. Because the God of Elijah, he veiled himself in Elijah. And when you draw near, the God of Elijah will reveal himself to you. Our friends, let's stand. Let's appreciate the Lord as we worship before we leave this place. Amen. That's all that we desire, friends. And if you inside of your life now, you are shepherdless sheep, I'd say to draw near to him now. Amen. Draw near. Lay aside your distractions in life and draw near and say, Jehovah, guide and lead me and see the way that he'll shepherd you. Because he loves to shepherd his sheep. Let's sing before we dismiss. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Happy Day. That fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may my glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day.
Oh, happy day, fix my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Happy day, happy day.
aren't you glad for the original life, the original seed, the original word? That's what we believe.
The original seed, the original word, is that I believe, where the Son of Man sees our good, the original life. What?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing one of them, one of them.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad I can. I am one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Oh Lord, bless me. Whose hearts are all open. With the fire that fell at Pentecost. He's burning now within my heart. I'm so glad that I can say I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. People may not know the course of holy faith, they have all received the Pentecost. Hallelujah. Oh, darling, oh, I'm so glad that I can say yeah. Oh Lord, I'm so glad I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. They were carrying the apple, the pain in his head, with the Father, the Holy Ghost. Now I need it for them that day. I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them, tonight one of them. One of them. One of them. One of them. I am one of them. I'm my brother. At the start, the joy bells ringing and well. He is burning now. Oh yes, I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. I'm so glad I can say. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. I'm so glad tonight. I'm so glad that I can say one of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's sing one more sense. Let's sing.
Amen.
I bless your name, I bless your name. Let me ask Brother George, you can close for us. So please in prayer, Brian, if you would. Let's sing, I bless your name, I bless your name.
In praiseless joy, with me is God. Let's pray. And in the pain they began to see. Where those chains of darkness were loose. We are free, I'm loose.
prayer. If you have a request before the Lord, why not raise your hand? He sees our hearts.
Father, most gracious Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, even as we sang, we bless your name.
Yes, Lord.
We bless you, Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, Amen. O God. Father, and even in the times when we'll be discouraged and down, we want to bless you now for that Amen. Time, O God.
Hallelujah.
And may you consider, Lord, us in these times of goodness.
Amen.
Even as the prophet says, Father, he doesn't see us, he only sees the blood.
Amen.
Lord, Father, he doesn't even hear us, he hears Christ. He hears our Amen. Voice, but he hears Christ.
Amen.
Lord, and you are interceding upon our behalf tonight, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. And we call upon your name, for you said, yes. in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, all captives are set free. Lord, Amen. Father, by whatever hand is raised, whatever
yes,
the
Lord.
Petition is, Lord,
yes, Lord,
it's that name, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
That fulfills every petition, O God.
Jesus.
Lord, it's not in the name of man, but it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we come tonight. Father, we Amen. Come with boldness, and we've heard your word tonight. What a glorious word, O God. Father, to think, Lord, Father, all these people, Father, O God, searching to and fro, Father, for what, Lord Savior, you gave to us, Father, so long ago, O God. Father, each and every one of us at a different time, at a different junction in our lives, Father, you called us to this wonderful message, O God. Lord, and when we look, Lord, even into the prophet, in his simplicity, O God,
yeah.
in the way and the frame that you made him, O God. Lord, at times he'd use guns and shooting and sights and, Lord, Father, the gun going off course, Lord, just to bring baptism, O God.
Hallelujah.
But the one thing, Lord, he'd say, Lord, Lord, if, Lord, the gun is not zeroed, O God. Lord, if it's not zeroed, Lord Savior, to yes. its target, Lord, it cannot hit, Lord Savior.
Hallelujah.
Father, the target, Lord God. And we know, Father, if we miss, Lord, it's a sin, Lord Savior.
Amen.
We want, Lord Savior, to be zeroed in tonight.
Yes.
To be zeroed in, Lord Savior, to your spirit, O God.
Amen.
That you, Lord Savior, may have, O God, control and preeminence of each and every one of our lives, O God.
Amen.
For, Lord, there's a purpose that you've called us for, God.
Yes.
Lord, and I believe, Lord, you never called us, Lord, haphazardly, O God. Lord, you called us, Lord Savior. Father, with a specific intent and purpose, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we can look at each and every one of us tonight. Lord, we could look, Lord, at our sister Lillian, Lord. Father, so many years back, Lord, she wasn't here. We didn't call her to Dublin, but you called her, Lord Savior. For you knew, Lord, she would fit into this flock at this time, Lord. Lord, I can look at Brother Ellie tonight. Lord, some years back, he was not here, but you called him with a purpose and an intent, Lord.
Amen.
And we can look at
yes.
Brother Greg, Lord. Father, when you called him, Lord, to Ireland, in his sin, Lord, you placed him in Carlow. But Lord, what are you doing in Carlow?
Yes.
Lord, you are not mistaken. Lord, you don't make mistakes, Lord.
Yes.
Father, you
Lord,
placed
yes.
him in his sin, in a place, Lord, for you knew, Lord Savior, he would stand in the
yes.
gap, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord,
yes.
we're looking unto thee, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Father, we are dumb. We are ignorant at times, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we fail to recognize
yes.
the day and its message, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, because of self, Lord, because
yes.
of personal things, Lord Savior.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
You've not only raised us a shepherd, Lord, Father, the great shepherd, Lord, but we believe in this place, Dublin, you've raised us a shepherd, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we are grateful for our shepherd, Brother Andrew, Lord, Father.
Hallelujah.
Lord, Father,
Hallelujah.
Who
Hallelujah.
Strives, Lord, Father,
Amen.
Daily, Lord, Savior, oh, to feed the flock, Lord, Savior.
Hallelujah.
Father, Lord, God, Lord, working family and church, Lord, Savior, just for the work of your kingdom, oh, God. Lord, you bless him, oh, God. Lord, in abundance, Lord, Savior. Lord, we're not talking materially, though we need it, Lord, Savior.
Hallelujah.
But spiritually, Lord Savior,
Amen.
That Lord, you will always be able, Lord, to see, oh Father, afar, to see those things that we as sheep can't see, Lord. Lord, we are called differently, Lord Savior
Amen.
God. We have different gifts, Lord Savior.
Amen.
But Lord, Father, you've said, Lord, if you called him as a shepherd, you called me as something else, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I can't be a shepherd, Lord. Neither can he be me. But
Amen.
Let me be me. Let
Hallelujah.
Me be my place, Lord, Savior.
Yes.
Lord, and just, Lord, exercise
yes.
my
yes.
duty, Lord, Savior, faithfully, Lord, Savior, God. For we are grateful for this church. We are grateful
Amen.
For every person, Lord. For every brother, Lord, Savior, God. Every sister, Lord, Savior. Nothing is out of place, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you know when Satan would come and whisper to us,
yes.
there's a better place. Father, that's a lie of the enemy, Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
But there's no better place than what you chose, Lord.
Amen.
If you placed me here, this is my place, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, and I don't want to, Lord Savior, be shepherdless, Lord. I want to have a shepherd, Lord. And I want to identify in my shepherd, Lord Savior.
Amen.
For Lord, you in this part of the vineyard have set, Lord, a specific diet, Lord, and a shepherd to feed me that diet, Lord. And I'm grateful, Lord Savior God, that I can exercise in this part of the vineyard my duties, Lord, that you, Lord Savior, request of me, O God. Bless our church. Bless all our needs. Bless our desires, O God. Greatest of them all, Father. Oh, you said, if we love one another, then men will know that you are my disciples.
Amen.
Give us, Lord Savior, that we'd ponder on these things, O God. That we'd have fellowship one between another. That we'd have unity, O God. For Father, when we have that oneness, O God, then you can come down and work the unspeakable, Lord Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us now, even as we part. Keep us, Lord, even upon this day. Even the brother that the pastor spoke of, Lord, that is caught in the dark, Lord. Father, oh God, Lord Savior, Father, how good it is for us to have a shepherd, Lord. For Lord, we were, Lord, tempted in that way at one time when people would phone and say there's so many mistakes in the message, oh God. But we run to our shepherd, Lord. Lord, and he'd show us, oh God. Lord, Father, oh God, the plainness of the message, Lord. And we love this message. We love, Lord Savior, Father, our brethren. We love, Lord Savior, from our pastor and our brothers who minister unto us, oh God. We want to give them the respects, oh God. We want the revelation, Lord Father, of why you gave us our children. You never gave us our children, Lord Savior. Father, that we, Lord Savior, would lead them to the successes of this world. But you gave us these children. You entrusted us with them, oh God, that we would, Lord Savior, present them back to you as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Guide us as we part. Keep us, Lord, even upon this day. And let us keep at heart this word, Lord Savior God. Let us, Lord Savior, strive daily, oh God. Strengthen us where we weak, where the heart fails, where you do good things for us, oh God. Like, Lord Savior, tuning our cars that the fuel would sustain. Jesus, we give glory unto thee. All we want to do, we want to testify where we need to, Lord Savior God.
Yes,
Lord. Bless us as we part. Bless those who have not come. And Lord, keep us, Lord, that we'd wait in excitement and in expectation for our next service, oh
Amen.
God. Bless us as we part. In Jesus' wondrous and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Saints, there's a baptism service on Sunday. We're so glad that our little brother James is going to be baptized. So if there's anybody else who's looking for baptism, please let us know. It's a good thing. Like we said, when the angel's troubling the waters,
sisters in color,
when he's making the way open, we'll see. But let's really, really pray for that. And let's come prayer meeting on Friday. May God be with you and with me. Let's just sing the chorus, I bless your name, as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
I bless your name. I'm not afraid to
Your name.